Welcome to installment 304 of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will begin our discussion of Positive Commandment 246, the law regarding Tain V'Nitin, the settlement of all financial disputes. This law, known as the law of Tain V'Nitin, or the claimant and the defendant, involves all the laws governing litigation and what is to determine when a person must make an oath and when a person must pay in a case of disagreement regarding finances. As the Rambam says, any case where people agree to something or whether there is a dispute between them or disagreement as to the facts involved, the laws governing the settlement of the case are governed by Positive Commandment 246. This commandment derives from the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 8, which specifically is speaking about a custodian, a watchman. And as the verse says, "Al kol dvar pesha," on any case of dishonesty, and the verse continues, either involving an ox, a donkey, a sheep, a garment, or anything lost, "Asher yeimar ki hu zeh," that the person states, "ki hu zeh," that this is it. What is the meaning of the statement, ki hu zeh, that this is it? The Rambam quotes the Mechilta, which explains ki hu zeh is referring to a case where the person partially agrees to the claim, known as a meide b'miktas, a meide that he agrees, b'miktas to a little bit of the claim. Let's say, for example, Reuven claims that he delivered something to Shimon to watch, $100. And when Reuven comes to claim, Shimon denies it and says, "You didn't give me $100, you only gave me $50. In such a case, it's not a total straight-out dispute. Shimon doesn't deny ever having been made a watchman. Rather, there is partial agreement. Shimon agrees that $50 was put in his trust. However, the other $50 they disagree about. This is known as Meida B'miktas. He partially agrees. And in such a case, the ruling is that this person is required to take an oath of the Torah, in order to keep from having to pay the other 50, he must take a Shvua D'Araisa, an oath of biblical origin. This idea of an oath applies not only in the case where someone was made a watchman, but in any other case of financial disagreement, such as a case when someone borrows money and partially agrees that he borrowed, but there is a disagreement as to the amount. In such a case, again, the borrower would have to make a Shvua D'Araisa, an oath of biblical origin. And the Rambam tells us in his legal code that there are only three cases where one is required by biblical law to make an oath. One is the case we have mentioned here of a meide b'miktas, a person who partially agrees. Another is a case where there is eid echad, where there is one witness who is contradicting the person's testimony. A person denies, for example, having borrowed any money at all, and one witness says that he did borrow money. According to the law of the Torah, one can only determine a case based on testimony if there are two witnesses, not one witness. If there were two witnesses saying he did borrow the money, then he would have to pay. But here there is only one witness. In such a case, the law of the Torah is he doesn't have to pay. However, he must take a biblical oath in order to avoid having to pay. The third case where one must take such a serious and strong oath is the case of a shemer, a person who is a watchman, who claims that the object was lost or stolen, depending on what kind of watchman he is, as we described earlier in the laws describing the different forms of watchmen. This shvuas ha-shemerin, or the oath taken by a watchman, is also a biblical oath. And these are the three cases where one is required to take such a biblical oath, which is extremely serious. The person must hold a Torah scroll or something similar in his hands and thereby make an oath. And there is a very severe punishment should one take a false oath in such a situation. There are many cases of oaths which are required to be given by rabbinic decree, known as a Shvuas Hesis. Let's say, for example, Reuven claims that he gave or lent $100 to Shimon. And Shimon says, "Lo yehoyu dvarim ma'elam," it never happened, I never borrowed any money. Now, if Reuven said, I did borrow, but only 50, this is the case we're speaking of. He has partially agreed, and he must take an oath by biblical origin. Let's say he denies the entire amount of the loan, or ever having taken a loan. In such a case, he is not required to take a biblical oath. He must take a rabbinic oath, a shvuas hesis. And should he take such an oath, he must not pay. However, here it seems to be strange. Should he deny completely, he does not have to take the serious oath. Should he partially agree, he must take a biblical oath. What is the reason for this? The Talmud in Tractate Bava Kamma gives the explanation by saying that a person who has borrowed money usually does not have the chutzpah, he does not have the nerve to completely deny a claim by the person he borrowed money from. It is impossible for him to lie straight in the face of another person. At least that is the assumption. Therefore, we assume that normally if a person has denied the entire claim, he is probably telling the truth, and he must not take a biblical oath. A rabbinic oath he still must take, but not this more serious type of oath. Let's say, however, a person admits to half. The Talmud's reasoning goes as follows. Why did the person not deny the whole thing? Because he didn't have the chutzpah. He didn't have the nerve to look at the lender straight in the face and say he didn't borrow a penny. Why then did he not admit the whole amount? Perhaps he doesn't have money now, and he hopes that now I'll agree to 50, and later on, when I get the rest of the money, I'll pay him back. So therefore he admits only to having borrowed 50. This way he gets out of the problem of not being able to lie in the face of his lender, and also he's trying to avoid payment of the whole amount, at least for the immediate future. The Torah says, therefore, since he is trying to get out of paying, we will force him to pay by putting him in such a situation where we have to take a biblical oath, and the person would not lie in such a case, and therefore will come up with the money immediately, because once we give him a chance to lengthen the time of payment, perhaps he will forget about it or not pay it promptly as soon as he can. Therefore, the Torah puts an oath upon this person in order that he should pay his loan promptly. We see here a rather curious thing. Positive Commandment 246 relates to a large variety of laws, but very complex and very lengthy, as we will be continuing Positive Commandment 246 for several days to correspond to these laws in the Rambam's legal code. And even though it covers the whole range of legal claims and counterclaims, nevertheless it is expressed in the Chumash with the verse involving the one specific case of a Meida B'Miktzas, a person who partially admits to the claim. Why is it? What is the significance that it has been expressed only in such a particular case? Why is there not a more general verse referring to any type of disagreement? In a discussion involving a very similar question, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita says that this is one sort of question which is best understood through looking at Pnimiya Sateda, looking at the inner, spiritual, Hasidic explanation of the law. And the Rebbe explains that when we're talking about a claimant or a court case, in a spiritual sense, the majority of all cases involve partial agreement on the behalf of the defendant. Who specifically here is the litigant, who is the claimant, and who is the defendant? In general, we're speaking about the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination of a person who has worked on the person long enough until they have sinned. And then he claims, after the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, has led the person down the improper path, then he claims, look what this person has done. The person must be punished. What does the Jew, the defendant, answer in such a case? In general, he is meida b'miktzas. He partially agrees. He does not have the chutzpah to completely deny the claim. He knows that he is not perfect, and he knows that he's done something wrong. On the other hand, he doesn't fully agree, because he knows that he has not given in totally to his evil inclination, and he has done some good things. Therefore, he is only partially responsible for what he did. He only did a little bit. He only partially agreed with his evil inclination. And since in general, very few Jews are capable or Everyone is capable, but very few actually totally fight off their evil inclination. And on the other hand, very few give in completely to their evil inclination. Therefore, any claim or any litigation, so to speak, of this kind will be a case of partial agreement. And therefore, the prototype of this law of litigation is expressed in the law of a partial agreement. What is the law in such a case? As we mentioned, we administer a shvua. We give an oath to the defendant that we have to believe him not only on the part which he has admitted he owes, that he must pay, but for the part that he says he did not borrow and he is not responsible for, he must take an oath. What is the significance of this in a spiritual sense? This the Rebbe brings from the Tzemach Tzedek, that the word shvua, or oath, has a root of the word seva, which means to satisfy, to fill up. That in a spiritual sense, when you give a person an oath, mashbim, I say, that you're giving him an oath, at the same time, you're mazbin, I say. You're filling him up. You're giving him additional abilities to come through his test. Which is the idea of giving a person an oath in general, as it is said at the beginning of Tanya, quoting the Talmud, that before the soul descends here to the earth, it is given an oath. What is the purpose of this oath? The purpose is to give the soul more power so that it can carry out its task properly here in the here on earth. And so too, when the Jew is accused by his evil inclination of improper behavior, what do? He admits partially that he has not been perfect. He has done certain things wrong. We administer him an oath, so the things that he is doing correctly, he will have the power to continue doing so. And he will have the power to further fight off his evil inclination and gradually improve his behavior. The Rambam concludes the mitzvah by directing us to the sources of the law, the third chapter of Baba Kama, the beginning and the eighth chapters of Baba Metzia, and chapters 5-7 of the tractate Shavuos, as well as being sprinkled throughout various places in the Talmud. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the shiurim, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.